Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I don't know why, but Hebrews makes me think I need another cup of coffee. Hebrews, amen. All right. Leave it to the Baptist preachers to bring food or drink into the auditorium. And at least in the message. We know the book of Hebrews is written to the Hebrews. But there's a lot of stuff in here that apply to the church, and we're going to look at a few things here in Hebrews chapter, did I say 11? Okay, Hebrews chapter 11, because that's where we're at. I'm sure. I thought I might have said 7, but I guess I said 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Read a few verses here today before we get going into the message. I mean, the most important thing is the Word of God. We're going to read the Word of God. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. As we look at this passage and we talk about faith, I want to look back at verses 1 and 2. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. The substance of things hoped for, I want to talk about looking forward. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. That's looking into the future, looking forward. And if you're going to live by faith, you're going to live for God, you're going to please God, you're going to have to do some looking forward. Amen? The world wants to get you focused on, the devil wants you to get hung up in the past. The world wants you to get focused on the present. But God wants you to realize the future. He wants you to look forward. Now, faith is a substance of the things hoped for. We talk about it a lot. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We preached it before. We prayed about it this morning. I think every time we pray, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come get us. So we're looking to get out of here. It's looking forward. We have to realize that we're going to leave. Amen. Whether it's the undertaker or the upper taker, we're going to leave. So looking forward, we realize by looking forward that we have a short amount of time on this earth. And I believe we could leave this Passover season. That'd be a great thing. Praise the Lord. But looking forward, also looking forward, not only to the rapture, but looking forward to after the rapture. I mean, there's a lot to look forward to, amen? First of all, the first thing I want you to realize is that after the rapture, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. If you're here today and you're saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, looking forward, we realize that we will be, our works will be judged, and we're going to either suffer loss, we're all going to suffer loss. It's either going to be all loss, or there's going to be some rewards. Hopefully there are many rewards sprinkled in that we lay back at the feet of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because He is worthy. So looking forward, we see the rapture coming. We see the judgment seat of Christ coming. And looking forward, we see the fact that the bride of Christ will be with the husband all for eternity. Looking forward, we see there'll be a period where we come back with Him to watch him defeat the devil's crew, cast the beast and the false prophet into a lake of fire, and then rule and reign for 1,000 years on the throne of David in the millennial reign. Looking forward, we know at the end of the millennial reign, there'll be the devil loosed for a season and the battle of Gog and Magog and fire come down from heaven and devour them. I'll tell you, if the rapture don't excite you, the devil being done forever ought to excite you. Amen. The rapture should excite you because you're done with you then. I get away from the old me. But the devil's done at the end of the millennial reign. Cast into the lake of fire forever where the beast and the false prophet are and have been for 1,000 years at that point. Looking forward. Verse number 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Looking back. Here's where the devil wants to mess you up. More than anything, if he can't get you convinced that the future is different than what the Bible says it is, you know, the judgment seat of Christ, the millennial reign, all that, the rapture, praise the Lord for the rapture. I'm glad the rapture's in the Bible. I don't care what you call it. You can call it the elevator to heaven. You can call it the catching away. You can call it the leaving the dumpster. You can call it whatever you want, but we're getting out of here, amen. I'm glad it's in the Bible. But looking back, the devil wants to mess with you looking back, too, because if you look back, he wants you to get caught up in junk of the past. But looking back also, I mean all the way back, amen, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. The devil wants you to believe that this all happened by happenstance, that this was a giant cosmic burp of a mistake and God didn't create everything. And there's two reasons he wants to do that, because he wants to be able to seed in all this garbage about, you know, man's not accountable to God. God didn't do it. We're just an accident. We're all animals. And then you can act like an animal. And it's all right to be an animal. Science even says man is an animal, which is garbage. Science falsely so-called. Amen. But what the devil, I think the main goal of him, looking back at Genesis chapter number 1, his main goal for you and his main goal for this world is to not believe in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Because if he can get you to doubt or totally not believe in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, he can get you to throw everything from Genesis 1 all the way to Revelation 22 out. Amen. So looking forward, we've got a lot to look forward to, and there's a time at judgment seat of Christ that says, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That's something to worry about. But the rapture is something to be excited about. The other side of that judgment seat of Christ is something to be excited about. But looking back, we realize that God not only created this, but he ultimately is in control of everything. In the end, he won. And you won too if you trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. You tired of winning yet? So looking forward, looking backward, look at verse number 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift. And by it, he being dead yet speaketh. Looking outward. You know what Abel was able to do? He was able to look past the works of his hands and look to the works of God. The reason Abel's sacrifice was acceptable is because it was God's works that he gave him. It was, a lamb that he offered up. It wasn't the works of his hand. Cain's offering the works of his hand, religion. But looking outward, Abel was able to look outward and say, these works of man are worth nothing eternally but what God has done. What you and I do can't satisfy God, because all of our righteousnesses are filthy rags. There's none righteous, no, not one. You know what God's satisfied with? What he does. And that was known way back in the days of Cain and Abel. And if people could just get a hold of that today and realize that, for by grace you save through faith, not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's about what Jesus Christ did. It's about what God did. It's about what he provided. I Not so much anymore, but I used to, probably one of the most, one of my favorite things was a garden fresh tomato. I mean, well, ain't nothing like a garden fresh tomato. But that garden fresh tomato is not the answer. That fact that you tilled the ground and seeded the ground and dressed the ground and all that stuff is not the answer. The answer is the sinless Lamb of God. So looking forward, looking backward, Abel was able to look outward and see reality. Look at 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. Perfect translation right there, amen? For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Looking inward. Looking inward. Enoch's a type of the church. That translation, we're going to be translated. That's what the rapture is. We're going to be translated. You know what it says? Look at this again. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found. You know what? The world's going to look around and the church is going to be not found. We're going to leave. Amen? Even the saved people that don't believe in the rapture are going to leave. They will be not found. Enoch's the type of the church. You know why he was raptured? You know why he was translated? Because he pleased God. You know why we're going to be translated? Because of the seamless and perfect righteous coat of Jesus Christ that you and I wear, we please God. What's pleasing to God is when he looks at his children and sees his perfect Son, the spotless Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. It's pleasing to God. That's the reason we'll get out of here. So, well, I'm leaving because I'm doing good work. No, I'm leaving because Jesus Christ said it is finished and he done the work. He completed it. He completed it. But looking inward, in verse number 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, amen, he is, the I am, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I don't care what anybody says, I love the King James English. That word, diligently, that's where you look inward. Are you diligently seeking him? Enoch's the type of the church. If you're saved, you're the church, you're the body, you're the bride. Are you diligently seeking him? I'm not talking about, and I'm not against looking at, to get out of here. Praise the Lord for the rapture. I'm not talking about diligently looking for the man of sin, the Antichrist, the beast, the false prophet. Diligently seeking to be able to rightly divide better than anybody ever rightly divided. I mean, I'm talking about the golden age of rightly dividing. I mean, I'm going to talk about diligently seeking that. I'm not talking about diligently seeking attention. I'm not talking about diligently seeking funds and finances and things of this world. I'm talking about diligently seeking him. That's where you look inward. The devil wants to keep everything outward. And spiritually, we need to be introspective, amen? We'll use that word, even though I don't really care for psychology a whole lot. We'll use the word introspective because you need to look in. And what you need to do is ask God to open your eyes and your heart to the truth about the motives in your heart. The motives in your heart. When you hopefully diminish the track rack out there because you want to tell people about Jesus Christ, when you hopefully step out on that plane of what you would consider uncomfortability or discomfort or danger maybe, where you talk to people about salvation and it's not your work, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. When you talk to religious people about the truth of Jesus Christ being the answer, not religion. Are you doing it because you're seeking him and you want others to seek him? You see, there's a danger in a church, and a lot of the old Baptist churches that were solid on Bible winning and stuff, soul winning and Bible teaching and stuff, they went the way of the numbers board. You know, we don't have one here. I don't want one here. No, know, if God sends more numbers in, praise the Lord, but, you know, 17 baptized, 85 conversions, $1,500. It becomes about numbers. And it's not about numbers. It's about Him. It's about Him. And again, I hope and pray that the Lord, as He sees fit, will send us in. We'll maybe run 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 people. Who knows what the Lord wants to do? But it's about Him. It's about Him. Now, if we could play the numbers game and sell the magic hankies on TV and tell people, you know, send in your $3,500 or your $3,000, your $38,000 or your $1 million, and God, He's not going to bless you if you don't do it. I know you're convicted to send me the money. If you don't send the money in, God's just not going to bless you. You might even lose your salvation. If we did it, we played that game, and it's not about Him, it's about numbers. And all these people were bamboozled, and they started filling the seats and chanting and all this stuff. And God's not in the middle of it, it ain't worth having. But looking inward, why do we do what we do? God will make you do a reality check. Amen. Because you'll be on the edge of wanting to quit. You'll be to the point where you've got no choice in your opinion but quit. And God says, wait, there's always a choice. There's always me. People quit because it's not about Him. People quit because it's about them. So if you make it about Him, you won't quit. Amen. But looking inward, look at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Listening to God's warning and instruction. Listening to God's warning and instruction. And being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Kind of takes us back to the judgment seat of Christ to save people, amen. We've got a warning that we're going to stand there. We've got a warning that there's a possibility that won't be anything but a big fire sale and a loss. But He's given us a warning. And you know what Noah did when God gave him a warning? He believed it and took action on it. You know what we need to do? We need to believe the book and take action on it. Look at what it says again. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He listened to God's warning and instruction. There's balance. All right, God gives you a warning. You know what He doesn't do? He doesn't just give you a warning and not give you an instruction to go with it. Amen? He doesn't just give you a warning and say, good luck figuring out how to heed the warning and take advantage of my warning. It tells you how to take advantage of the warning. Warning and instruction. I think a lot of what goes on in church houses today is a lot of instruction with very little warning. Well, do this and do that and donate here and don't do this and don't do that and don't, you know, and the do's and the don'ts. Don't pass up a chance to do good. That's the don't most of the time, you know. Don't pass up a chance to do good. Don't pass up a chance to dig a well in Uganda and get in on that. Don't pass up a chance to do this. Don't pass up a chance to do that. And they don't give you the warning and the instruction, but I'm here today to tell you that a balanced church, you will get warning. You'll get warning. The most important warning you can get out of a pulpit is, hey, if you're not trusting Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, I'm going to give you a warning. The Bible says, for all of sin and come short of the glory of God, for the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That Bible says you'll burn in hell forever without Jesus Christ as your Savior, without trusting Him and Him alone. Your works won't do it. Your baptism won't do it. Your beads won't do it. Your pope or your priest won't do it. Your church membership won't do it. The only thing that's going to finish this, the only thing that's going to put you in right standing with God is the blood, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's your warning. I don't think that's being preached a lot. It's not easy on the finances to tell people they're wicked. Amen. Isn't it funny how you can tell people love, 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 and everything's happy, joy, and God wants you to be blessed money and money-wise and prosperous. He wants you to have a million-dollar mansion. He wants you to have a Maserati. He wants you to have a Bugatti. He wants you to have a Bentley. He wants you to have this, that, and the other. He just wants you to be overflowing with blessings. And then they say those blessings are all carnal things. And people will line up. But boy, if that same church come out and they got 30,000 people in it, and that preacher come out and said, you know what, I probably ought to be preaching about hell. You talk about dwindling the numbers down real quick because they got in for them instead of for him, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about what can you do for me today? How about what he's already done for you? He's already given you an opportunity to have eternal life by trusting Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Now the question should be, what can we do for him? All right, ask not what God can do for you, but what you can do for what he's already done, because of what he's already done. Amen. But listening to God's warning and instruction. 24 through 26. Let's jump over to 24. By faith, Hebrews 11:24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God and to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith. Talking about Moses and faith. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Listen now. Choosing rather to go to the prosperity church and have everything that God could possibly heap on him, worldly speaking. That's not what it says. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses come to a fork in the road, and the wrong road would have led him to all kinds of worldly good things and worldly power and worldly prestige and worldly possessions. But he wasn't in it for him. He was in it for the Lord. And he said, I'm going to take the other road, the right road, and I'm willing to suffer persecution and suffer loss for the cause of the Lord than to run from God and take the things of this world. You know what he was doing? He was looking and listening upward. Matter of fact, he went up. He was willing to make the journey to God instead of trying to bring God to him. That's what's missing. Another thing's missing in this world today. People want to bring God down to them. God is like us. He's a man. Or God's a woman. Or maybe God's a black woman. Or maybe God's this. Or maybe God's that. No, God is God Almighty, perfect and righteous and holy and clean and good and omniscient and all-powerful and all that stuff. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. He does not deserve to come down to us. Jesus Christ did. Past tense. Now he's looking for us to take the steps up the mountain to him. I'm not talking about being better than anybody. I'm talking about putting out the effort to be closer to the Lord. What if Moses would have never climbed that hill? Then he'd have been a good independent fundamental Baptist, because most good independent fundamental Baptists will never climb the hill. They just keep waiting for God to come down where they want him to be instead of admitting they're not what God wants and trying to be more like Jesus Christ. Amen. Looking and listening upward. Look at verse 27. I promise you won't be much longer. I'm running out of gas. By faith, talking about Moses, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. looking forward, looking backward, looking outward, looking inward, looking and listening, and listening to God's warning and instruction, looking and listening upward. And now we see the hardest part today, leaving the world behind. Leaving the world behind. By faith, he forsook Egypt. Egypt is the type of the world. Not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. You know what Moses wanted to do? Let me see you, Lord. The Lord met him halfway. He couldn't look fully on him or he'd died. But he wanted to see the Lord. You know what it said? Look at the last part of this verse again. As seeing him who is invisible. Right back to verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He just believed God. And he believed God not to the point where he was willing to go way out on a limb and say, I believe there's a God. But he believed God, said, not only do I believe God, that I'm going to obey this God that I can't see with my flesh. I can't see him with my eyes. I can't feel him with my hand. But I can hear him in my heart. He believed God and was willing to suffer affliction and ditch Egypt, leave the world to please God. I believe every one of us, when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to, I think we already knew it at one time, we just forgot it. God's going to remind us of our time, of a time where he said, this is what I want you to do, and we refuse to do it. This is the direction I want you to go in, and I refuse to do it. This is what I wanted you to do in your life, and you refuse to do it. I believe that. I believe that God makes things so crystal clear in our hearts sometimes, and we refuse to do it. I think there are going to be people all over the world that God's going to say, you know what? I was going to send you here to produce fruit by the blood of my son. I was going to have you do this. And I'm not necessarily talking about outside the country. I'm talking about across the street. Amen. I'm talking about to the mailman. I'm talking about to the grocery people. I'm talking about maybe it is to another country. There'll probably be a ton of people that the Lord said, well, I want you to go to Nicaragua, and I want you to tell people about Jesus Christ. And when you get over there, I'm going to use you in a mighty way. And they go, yeah, but I make $65,000 a year now, and I don't want to leave it. I've known people that had several $100,000 businesses that walked away from them to go to another country that they'll die in where they don't know anybody. And I know that there's also been times where the Lord's talked to me and said, hey, why don't you do this? I want you to do this. And I said, I don't know about that. Amen. But you know what Moses was willing to do? Look and listen upward. And to leave Egypt behind. There'll be a lot of people without fingernails when the rapture happens. Because they'll be dug into this world like cat's claws in a rug, amen. And that rapture will happen. Thankfully, we'll get a new body and we'll get eternal fingernails, amen. But I think that people talk about, well, there's going to be a pile of blood. I think the blood is going to be from the fingernails pulled out. People that won't let go of this trash heap of a world and hang on to Jesus Christ willingly. Willingly. Looking forward, looking backward, looking outward, looking inward, listening to God's warning and instruction, looking and listening upward, and leaving the world behind. I think we're experts. The old man is an expert at convincing you that maybe I'm not in God's will, but what I'm doing is good enough. I think that's why the prosperity crowd so easily swayed the wrong direction. Well, I don't want to go to a Bible-believing church. I don't want somebody to tell me I'm a sinner. I don't want to go to another country to preach. I don't want to do this. But what I will do is I will take a little bit of my millions that God's blessed me with, quote unquote, and I'll send money around the world to have somebody else that was actually willing to leave Egypt do the job that I won't do. Amen. And it's real easy, and I guarantee you we're guilty. I'm guilty of it myself, of saying, Lord, I don't want to hand them a tract right now. Somebody else will take care of it. Am I the only person? Somebody will tell them. If they're looking, God will send somebody to them. Why me? He's not doing it to hurt you. He's telling you because he wants you to be at the judgment seat of Christ, and he wants to be able to say, well done, our good and faithful servant. Amen. So all of us are going to raise the temperature around the judgment seat with works that just burn up. But it doesn't have to be all of them. It doesn't have to be all of them. What are you willing to leave for the Lord? Maybe it's a cell phone. I don't know about you, but this cold weather's messed me up. Because when our driveway's got 2-foot drifts in it and I can't get out, I get desperate, man. I drive the truck up and down there trying to make paths. I'll do any. I mean, you know, it's too long to walk out. By the time I get to the end of the driveway, I'm too cold to go back home. I sit around and watch stupid stuff on the internet. So I'm going to watch preaching. Good Bible. I'll listen to a good Bible preaching message, good Bible teaching message. The next thing you know, it's about Robert F. Kennedy or Trump or some goofball like that. Who cares? We're leaving. But it's real easy to get caught up into 2 or 3 hours of garbage on a phone or a computer. Well, this preacher thinks that, and this preacher thinks that, and this preacher. You know what this preacher thinks? I think you got to focus on Jesus Christ. Amen? You know enough to get yourself in trouble right now. Amen? I mean, you really do. You're accountable for what you know. Too much is given, much is required. If you're sitting in this church today, and not because of me, because we got a book and we believe it, we try to rightly divide it. If you're sitting in this church today saved, you know more about that Bible than 90% of the people in this world that claim to be a Christian. And I'm not saying that to puff you up. I'm saying that to warn you, because you're responsible for what you know. And you know He's coming back. You know there's a judgment seat of Christ. You know about the rewards, the gold, silver, precious stones, the hay, wood, and stubble. You know more about what God expects than most people do. Amen. You know more about the importance of prayer for the right reasons to get closer to Jesus Christ and to pray for people that are lost and on their way to hell than most Christians do. Amen. Quote, unquote, Christians. And you know what else you know? You know where you're going if you're saved. I think the judgment seat of Christ, part of that's going to be, well, Lord, I figured it out. I knew I had eternal security. I knew the book of Hebrews and James were primarily the Jews. I knew it. I believed in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. I believed every word in Revelation. He's going to say, yeah, but because you realized you were going to heaven and you were eternally secure, you put the thing on autopilot, just skated through. I heard a preacher a long time ago, a Baptist preacher, and he said, I wish I could tell you all you'd lose it and go to hell if you didn't do what God called you to do, because then you'd probably do it. Wouldn't we? I mean, we'd either quit totally or we'd be really, really careful to listen to everything God said and try to do it. Right now, it's just too easy to go, yeah, I'm saved. What if Jesus Christ went up to Calvary and he said, yeah, I'm on Calvary. And he's still there. That wouldn't be enough. Because he had to die, be buried, come back out of that grave. And when you trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, your old man is judged dead, your old man is judged buried, and you are judged, your new man, alive in Christ to do good works for the cause of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Amen. I'm not trying to beat you up as a hypocrite. I'm just telling you we all intentionally fall short. Because we know better. Because we know better. So the question is, what are we going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Well, maybe I'll... You got religious people that will do almost crazy stuff for their religion. You got people that believe that some man can absolve their sin, and they'll crawl through broken glass to try to justify their righteousness and to try to punish themselves so God doesn't do it in their mind. They won't eat fish, anything but fish on Friday. They'll do all their good stuff. They'll fast. They'll pray. They'll get rid of this. They'll get rid of that. They'll do all kinds of stuff, hoping they get in. And we won't even do right half the time, knowing we're getting in. Amen. To whom much is given, as much is required. Aren't you glad that the Bible says these things have written you to believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life? Aren't you glad that's in there? Aren't you glad the Bible says, for by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast? Aren't you glad the Bible says in Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption? Aren't you glad the Bible says that His sheep shall never perish? Aren't you glad that's in there? I'll tell you what else you'd be glad about. If you actually do something for Jesus Christ, and you get to the judgment seat of Christ and say, that stupid preacher, that annoying guy, couldn't sing, but God has a sense of humor, was about a 1 out of 12 on a preaching scale, but he told me the truth. 1 out of 12. I wish you wouldn't amen that. You could have given me a 3. But these people, these religious people, are willing to give up all this stuff. And I'm not into the Sabbath and all that stuff, keeping Sabbath. After you got home today, could you shut your cell phone off and not turn it on until tomorrow morning? Your cell phone. Could you just shut it off and not turn it on again till tomorrow? Could you shut it off or put it on mute and hide it in another room so you could pray and read your Bible for an hour a day? You know what I notice sometimes? I'll pray and read my Bible and then check my cell phone. You know, the cell phone's got more pull on us than the Word of God does. We have trapped ourselves. We've trapped ourselves with these new electronic devices. You say, well, how's the devil going to do this, going to do that? It's pretty much easy work for him. The hard part is the Lord getting us to do what's right. Moses had all kinds of excuses to not do what God called him to do. But ultimately, he walked away from Egypt. And for the most part, pleased God. But it cost him something. It cost him something. What would you be willing to give up to get closer to God? What would you be willing to give up? Because it's not anything that puts you closer to God is not lost. Anything that you get rid of, anything that you cut out so you can focus more on Him, is not lost to Him. The lost is rejecting Him and failing to let go of Egypt. Father, we love you and thank you for the Lord and Savior Jesus.